Let's read together Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 37. In this portion of Matthew chapter 12, we have the last straw in the nation of Israel's rejection of their Messiah, the King. The Pharisees attribute the Lord's wonderful miracles to the power of Satan. This was the unpardonable sin. Let's begin by reading verses 14 through 35. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust." Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. Here in this section of Matthew chapter 12, we have the focal point of Israel's rejection of her king. The nation's leaders attribute our Lord's miraculous powers to the devil. How terrible! This was unforgivable. As a result of our Lord's rejection, the gospel of the kingdom would no longer be preached in Israel, but the gospel of the Great Commission would now go out to the whole world, to Jew and Gentile individuals alike. Now, I think we see this shift prophetically pictured in our Lord's action here in verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. The all here would have included Gentiles as well as Jews, in view of the fact that Matthew tells us that this healing of all the followers was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Notice that this messianic prophecy includes blessing on the Gentiles, as we see in both verse 18 and verse 21. The reason that the Lord told his followers not to make him known in verse 16 was because he did not come to be made into a popular revolutionary hero that would overthrow Rome. No, his program and procedure were different. He not only came as king, but also as the perfect servant, as the messianic prophecy in Isaiah foretold. So much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord fulfilled the gracious servant prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord fulfilled the gracious servant prophecy of Isaiah. There are several servant prophecies in Isaiah which predict that the coming Messiah would be God's perfect servant. The most well-known servant prophecy in Isaiah, of course, is the suffering servant passage of Isaiah chapter 53. The passage quoted here in verses 18 through 21 is the gracious and gentle servant prophecy of Isaiah 42. In this messianic prophecy, it is shown that the Lord would not be an outspoken political revolutionary. Look at verse 19. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Rather, the Lord would deal gently and graciously with individuals, those who were brokenhearted and oppressed and trampled on and dispossessed would find encouragement and strength in him and in his justice, then and today. You know, I love the first part of verse 20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A bruised reed he will not break. If your name was Dave Reed, you would love this verse too. And smoking flax he will not quench. Did you ever feel like you were a smoldering wick just ready to burn out? Well, the Lord knows how to gently fan your small spark of faith back into flame. He's gracious and gentle. Notice how the Trinity is seen at the beginning of this prophecy in verse 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. The Father is speaking. The Son is the servant. And the Holy Spirit is obviously the Spirit. Notice again the emphasis on the Gentiles in this prophecy. The end of verse 18, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. And verse 21, and in his name Gentiles will trust. As a result of Israel's rejection of their king and his kingdom, blessing would flow out to the Gentiles. Anyone who would turn to him in time of need would find justice and blessing. The Lord fulfilled the gracious servant prophecy of Isaiah. Doctrinal point number two, the Pharisees committed the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees committed the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, we see that the Lord healed a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb. Now, the Bible is not teaching here that everyone who is blind or everyone who can't speak is demon-possessed. No. But the Bible is teaching here that demons can cause physical problems, including blindness and inability to speak. Now, when the common people saw this miracle, they at least were open to the truth that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Verse 23, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? But the Pharisees quickly quieted such speculation and said that the miracle-working power of Jesus was demonic power. The Lord refuted this terrible accusation with four arguments. Number one, if the Lord's power was demonic, then Satan would be defeating himself because his kingdom would be divided. Verses 25 and 26. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Number two, verse 27. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. There were Jewish exorcists at that time which God allowed, and the Pharisees did not attribute their power to Satan. If they now said exorcism was by demonic power, they were condemning their own colleagues. A third argument that the Lord used is in verses 28 and 29. He was announcing the kingdom of God, and therefore he was binding the power of the strong man, that is Satan, and taking away his property, that is, casting out demons. His power, therefore, must be by the power of God. And a fourth argument that the Lord used here, showing the Pharisees' inconsistency, is in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. The Pharisees admitted that casting out demons was good. Well, you can't get good fruit from a bad tree, said the Lord. So you Pharisees are inconsistent. In fact, you Pharisees are a brood of vipers, verse 34. And you have an evil heart, and therefore speak evil and do evil. An evil man can only bring forth evil out of an evil treasure, verse 35. Because these Pharisees attributed our Lord's miraculous powers to Satan, the Lord said that this sin was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and was unforgivable in this age or in the age to come. These Pharisees will be in hell forever. Now the big question. Can the unpardonable sin be committed today? Answer, yes and no. No in the sense that the Lord is no longer bodily on this earth doing miracles to attest to his deity. That was a one-time situation in history. It cannot be duplicated today. But yes, in the sense that an unbeliever can resist the work of the Holy Spirit today. Now let me ask you, what is the work of the Holy Spirit today in reference to unbelievers? It is to bring unbelievers under conviction of sin and convince them that Christ is the only way of salvation. If unbelievers continue to resist this work of the Holy Spirit, they will die in that sin. This sin is unpardonable. There is no second chance. So in that sense, then, if you're here this morning and you still have not come to Christ for salvation, you are committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Lord says in verse 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. There is no middle ground. If you're not a Christian, you are against Christ and working to disrupt his program. You are in the camp of the Pharisees. The Pharisees committed the unpardonable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Practical application. Remember, God has a tape recorder. Verses 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In context here, these words were spoken to the unbelieving Pharisees and have a direct application to all unbelievers. They will be judged at the great white throne on the basis of their works, including their words, as we see here. But you know, these verses certainly have an application for Christians. Our words do not determine whether we go to heaven or hell, because all our sins are forgiven when we accept Christ as our Savior. But all Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, according to Romans chapter 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There our lives will be reviewed. There we will be rewarded based on the quality of our service for the Lord, and that certainly will include what we've done with our lips. Let me ask you this morning, have you spoken any careless words lately? Remember, God has a tape recorder.